Chapter 8, The Only Tradition That Matters. Rekmeet made his way out the door and came to stand before the fallen man in the alleyway.
"Please, help!"
the man croaked as he tried to sit up and looked at Rekmeet. His matted beard and long hair were gray, and he had a scar over his left eyebrow, tendrils from the word of nature growing around it. Black lines, though not raised like the tendrils from words, grew around the man's neck and face, making it look as if he were cracking. When he looked down, Rekmeet realized there was a wooden dagger lodged in the old man's shoulder. He went to remove it when the man stirred.
Please, end this. Just twist the dagger. Make it end.
Standing up quickly, Rekmeet took a step back and looked at the man. Rubbing the right side of his face, grazing his scar, Rekmeet thought for a moment.
"I need to get you help," he said as he knelt down again. "No one can help me," the man screamed. "But you can. If you twist the dagger, it will end."
Rekmeet took a deep breath to calm himself and leaned over the man, hand wrapping around the wooden hilt. Gaining enough courage to push past his fear, Rekmeet twisted the dagger to the right. The wood crumpled in his hand and the old man seized for a moment before he quieted. Rekmeet stood and watched in awe as the color drained from the man. As the dead man lay pale on the street, Rekmeet looked down in horror as the cracks started to spread and widen, as the man's body started to collapse in on itself. The flesh melted away as the skull caved in, crumbling to dust. Rekmeet went to touch the body and the rest of it fell apart, leaving only the clothes covered in dust behind.
"What just happened?"
Rekmeet thought to himself as he knelt down and picked up the clothes in his hands. Rekmeet walked into his room and placed the tattered clothes in the cupboard. The man was using spoken writing, so he would not have been charged for killing him. But Rekmeet had no proof that the man had been branded. Hell, he didn't even have proof that there was a man at all. To be safe, he decided to hold on to the clothes until he could learn more. The less questions people in the street had to ask, the better. As he lay down and started to fall asleep, he heard his father's voice. It had taken him years to get used to. Outside of sleep, he had never heard anything in his mind. But in that brief moment, just before his mind slipped into a dream, his father spoke to him. And they were always the same words. "No matter what has come before, the only tradition that matters is obeying the law. You understand, Rekmeet, don't you?" "Hello again, Rekmeet. How are you today?" the owner asked as he came into the firearm shop. Firearms were pretty hard to come by for civilians, but the silencers had armories stationed throughout the kingdom. Rekmeet had been given a chit equal to the flintlock that had exploded in his hands to make up for the ordeal. But he had felt no rush in acquiring a new one, feeling that a pistol was just one more weapon for the prisoners to get their hands on, and the memory of the range had been too fresh. But since his run-in with the man the night before, he had not been able to get a thought free of his mind. What if it had been the Nightwalker last night? Would he have survived? How would he have fared? Rekmeet felt that he needed to have a pistol for protection. "Well enough. How are you, Noik?" he asked as he walked up to the counter. "Eh," the old shop owner sighed. "I'll be better if I finally sell you the twins," he said as he motioned towards the wheel ox. "That day may have come," Rekmeet said as he looked down at the pistols on display. "Let me see them again." The man nodded and removed the twin wheel ox from their storage, placing them on top of the cabinet. He picked up the first in his left hand and looked at it. It had the name Truly Lives inscribed on a band above the ball end of the stock. The stock and frame were cut from ivory, fitted iron platings for all the functional pieces. The pistol was covered in a spatter of wings, roses, and crosses etched into the ivory. Truly Lives fit perfectly into his left hand. He picked up its twin in his right hand, a silver placard that lay on the bridge of the stock right where his hand would go. Was inscribed with the letters WD for its name, Welcome's Death.
The names were inspired by a story of old. His mother had told it to him as a bedtime story plenty of times. A sharpshooter that was there in the land of the spoken the day that the Inksayers had finished writing the word of death for Ulrich. He had slain many of the Nichta, and it was even said that he banished the book to a fiery death before it could come into the hands of the vagrant king. The sharpshooter seemed to appear out of nowhere in the middle of the night, with two matchlock pistols in hand. A servant of the scholars had said that she had been stopped by a group of Nichta during one of their marauding raids. Their eyes were filled with bloodlust. Anyone not writing for Ulrich was theirs. She claimed the man had dispatched at least a dozen of Ulrich's men, even taking an arrow or two himself. The servant asked how he could be so fearless, taking on an army almost entirely himself. His response, "Only one who welcomes death truly lives." The story could have easily been apocryphal. It had nearly been 3 centuries since the days of Ulrich. But myth or not, Rekmeet had always enjoyed the tale, and the wheelocks were exquisite pieces. Welcome's death was carved from obsidian, and had skulls, scythes, and other symbols of death carved into its surface. The ball butt was carved into a skull, and the muzzle peeked its head out of the mouth of a second skull. The wheel case and Welcome's death had an eye staring out from it. The dog heads on both of them looked perfect. Rekmeet imagined they would both fire beautifully. The two were part of a set, but they functioned separately. Truly Lives was a standard wheel lock and fired the typical ammunition. Welcome's death was a separate matter entirely. The gunsmith who had made it was the first to build a barreling system capable of firing glass cartridges that could tear through Lakesy. The set probably would have been snatched up for that alone long ago if it weren't for the fact that he had only made 10 glass rounds. In order to obtain more, whoever purchased the pistols would have to track down someone who could repeat the process. May have had to pay more than they'd wish for it to be worth it. "Come what may, I'll take them," Rekmeet said as he reached into his jacket and removed his coin purse. The wheelocks were far more expensive than the stipend the silencers had given him to replace his flintlock, but he had been in the habit of saving for years now. The twins were worth it. Novik nodded and scooped the gold into a metal case before latching it and putting it behind the counter. Then the shop owner stepped out and walked towards Rekmeet, carrying with him an over-the-shoulder leather holster mount. Rekmeet removed his jacket and inclined his head as the man dressed it on him, and then stepped back, smiling as he handed Rekmeet both of the pistols. "It is a good thing you are getting them today, sir. There was another party who seemed particularly interested." "Do you remember who it was?" Rekmeet asked, his interest piqued. "Mr. Fonica. He was enthralled in the mechanism capable of firing glass. Said he was willing to pay the civilian overcharge." That was puzzling. Rekmeet had never really taken the rich man as one who sought such personalized protection, especially one designed specifically for Lakesies. The man was wealthy enough to walk around with a team of hired guards, and did so often. Welcome's death wouldn't do him much good inside the walls. "Well, I'm glad I came to see you again before he did. You've done me a great service today, Silencer. I hope that they serve you well." After holstering the twins, Rekmeet donned his jacket and smiled as he looked at his reflection, seeing that the wheelocks were concealed nicely. "Thank you, Novik." "Have a great day, sharpshooter," the shop owner said with a smile and a wave as Rekmeet headed out the door. As Rekmeet walked along the street, his mind was alive with ideas. He hadn't given much thought to the man Malice before, but his curiosity had been picked at. He had to admit that the mechanism he now held in his left holster was truly something to marvel at, but he doubted the man would pay such a hefty price simply for the novelty of it. Surely the man could afford it, as even Rekmeet had, but from the little he observed of the man from afar, Mr. Fornica did not waste his money. He wasn't the type to wave it around fragrantly. What could give him reason to go outside the wall? Malice had returned from a decade and a half long trip, just 5 years ago. Around that time, they saw an influx of spoken writing popping up around the kingdom. His brothels were raided 6 times every year to ensure everything was above board. Rumors and whispered assumptions aside, The man and his business were clean. At least they appeared to be. But still, it tugged at the back of Rakmeet's thoughts. Bianto had been taken from the SMC nearly the span of the entire kingdom away from his own city, and Rakmeet could not ignore that he was taken from the same city that Malice had his grasp around. "I need you to work a bit late for me," Rakmeet said as he stood before the desk in Sector 1. "Bloody well have a good reason for that one," Thorin huffed before shoveling some fresh stew into his mouth. "I intend to go to Salim's. I want to ask her some questions about the night Ianto disappeared." "You're no hunter, Rakmeet. Why are you trying to investigate that?" "I have an angle that came up. I want to see if Malice Vonica was there that night," Rakmeet responded, nervousness resting in his shoulders. "The Vonicas," Thorin spat as he sat up, shaking his head. "That is a dangerous family to make an enemy of, Rakmeet. Even if they have nothing to do with the Nightwalker. Tread carefully." "You're letting me go," Rakmeet failed to hide his surprise, a hung apparent on his face. "You have to earn that circle eventually. Just make sure to be safe." Rakmeet nodded and departed, a look of determination on his face. He tied Strider off inside the stables underneath the sign that read Salim's Master Castle, and headed inside. The sun hung high overhead and it was still morning, moving into midday. The inn was fairly quiet. Only a handful of people sat at tables, strewn about the otherwise empty bar of the inn. Viola sat on the center stage, tuning her violin. Rakmeet had watched her perform at the inn years ago, but so much time had passed he could only imagine how much she had improved. He approached her slowly. "Viola, were you playing two nights ago?" The girl set the instrument against the stool and looked up from it. "Yes, I was, Silencer. I play nearly every night. Why do you ask?" "Do you remember seeing Councilman Cormac here that night?" A loud slam sounded from behind the bar as Rakmeet's question left his mouth. He looked up and watched as Salim approached, marching towards him, a scowl on her face. "My daughter plays music for the inn and focuses on her instrument. If you enjoyed a piece she played and want to know its name, you can direct such questions to her," old Salim said as she inclined her head to her daughter. "But if you are curious about this establishment and the patrons we cater to, you may speak with me." Salim nodded to her daughter and Viola scurried to the office behind the bar. Salim watched as she left and then turned back to Rakmeet. "Now, Silencer, what can I help you with?" "Yesterday morning, a Nightwalker's toothpick was recovered from one of the tables here. We have reason to believe it was Councilman Cormac. Do you remember seeing him here?" Old Salim crossed her hands in front of her as she turned her head in consideration. "We were very busy that night, but I think I recall him being here. Do you remember seeing Malice Vonica that night?" Old Salim stopped looking at Rakmeet and stared behind him, a smile forming on her face. "I would love to answer more of your questions, Silencer. But you may ask the man yourself," Salim said as she turned around and went the same way Viola had. Rakmeet was a little put off but turned around nonetheless. Malice stood before a table and one of his servants was there with him. The man pulled the chair back and Malice sat. "Rakmeet Lytrotus. I've always hoped that if ever a Silencer of Order's guard had questions for me, they would simply pay my estate a visit," Malice said as he withdrew a pipe from his robe and placed the stem in his mouth. The servant lit a matchstick and held it over the bowl as Malice puffed. His pipe now lit, the servant departed and sat at a table where he could still see, but was out of earshot. "How do you know my name?" Malice gestured to the chair in front of him. "Please, I know the name of every Silencer. I make it a point to know as much as I can about what happens in this kingdom." Malice took a long draw from the pipe. "Rakmeet Lytrotus." Rakmeet sat. "Yes?" "Lytrotus. The liberator. The rescuer. The savior. The protector." Malice stopped and let the words hang in the air as he brought the pipe back to his mouth. "Is that what you see yourself as, Rakmeet? The protector?" Malus Funica, Rekmeed responded, choosing to return in kind rather than to focus on what the man had said. The phoenix, the man who disappeared weak and returned changed, clawing his way out of ashes. That's how you see yourself, right? Not as the man who abandoned his wife and child for 15 years? The tension in his voice did not come close to the glare in his eyes. There were few things that irritated him, but having his family's history picked apart tore at him worse than most. Malus laughed, pulling the pipe away from his face. You and I are not so different. How do you figure? Rekmeed pushed. We both do what we think is necessary for Iota. Except I didn't have to break the law in order to do so. Are you accusing me of something? Malus asked as a smile crawled across his face. Rekmeed felt his temper rise in response. The man talked so casually, it was as if he saw it all as a game, and enjoyed playing. Bringing spoken writing into the kingdom. And what are you basing this off of? Malus asked as he leaned back and calmly puffed from his pipe. Magic was never so prevalent in Meinhort until you returned. Or? Malus said as he took a long draw from his pipe, leaving the pleasant scent of vanilla and cherry behind. It took you lot this long to realize what has been going on in your kingdom for years. How dare you? Rekmeed shouted as he stood up. Malus remained unmoved, staring at him with his head slightly tilted. Slowly it returned to normal and the eerie smile was back again. Are you done? Slowly, Rekmeed nodded and sat once again. The only unsavory thing I have done in this kingdom is open my brothels. An order itself is a respectable establishment. Look outside and you can see how well it has worked for the city. One could say that that level of influence would grant you some privilege in this city, Rekmeed responded. You were drafting a very poor map, but pointed you my way to begin with. Rekmeed reached into his jacket and unholstered Welcome's Death, setting it on the table. Malice's left eyebrow raised as he sat forward, looking at the wheel lock. Ah, so you were the other prospective buyer, the man said as he considered it. I was hoping to acquire that set. I'd heard. I was curious as to why you would desire such a weapon, Rekmeed said as he removed the pistol from the table and holstered it again. It is a remarkable feat of engineering. Anyone would be lucky enough to own such a rarity, Malus said with a sly smile. Inside the city walls, you wouldn't have much use for it. Malus set his pipe down and rested his hands on the table, cocking his head, his smile spreading even wider. There's no way to place value on the safety I'd have. Knowing that a pistol with glass rounds was in my house, should Elixir ever slip through all of your defenses? Were you in this inn 2 nights ago? Did you see Ianto the night he died? I don't know that I've ever done anything more than greet the man in passing on the street. I was saddened when I heard the news. The councilman's death echoes throughout the kingdom. Malus nodded to his servant and stood, grabbing his pipe and turning towards the man. Where are you going? Rekmeed asked as he stood up quickly. The man turned back to him, leering. You are barely anything more than a recruit, Rekmeed. We have nothing to base this on other than a novice's hunch. If you wish to take this further, you can have my entire estate searched. But you will have to take what little you have to your leadership first, and I guarantee they will be far less kind than myself. Malus turned and started to head out the door. Thank you for the lovely chat, Mr. Lytrotis. I look forward to the next time we meet. I hope you all enjoyed that chapter. Check in next episode for Chapter 9, Bonds as Thick as Blood. And as always, the song I used was Fluidscape by Kevin McLeod at Incompetech.com, licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0 license, at http://creativecommons.org/licenses/by/3.0.